There's a common misconception in mainstream Christianity that people do not need to live by God's laws in order to be Christians. And that's why I often do the Christian thing. I think I've explained before, I don't mean anything pejorative or disrespectful to people who claim to be Christians, but when I use the term nominal or mainstream or terms like that, it's just because, you know, they just don't know. But they claim to be Christian, and yet they would also say that it's not necessary to live God's law. They will often use terms like, all you have to do is love, or, you know, love Jesus, love God, and that's all that really matters. Profess to know Him, and that's good enough. In their view, in their belief, as long as you do that, you'll be considered approved, or whatever that means to them. Usually it means going to heaven, right? And yet what's interesting is, you know, they don't even understand what that truly means. Approved for what? You know, just to spend eternity in the clouds and that's what it's for? Most people haven't really thought this idea through. Those same people that have no idea, you know, why human life exists, they don't even understand why they're on earth. No understanding of the reality that when Christ returns, He's going to establish a kingdom here on earth. And kingdoms have rulers and kingdoms have laws. I think we all understand that. Join me in Isaiah chapter 2, because one of the first things that is going to happen that will be established when Christ returns, we see here in Isaiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, "And now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the," what? "Law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." You know, so one of the very first things that will be instituted is law. It's also recorded in Micah 4. We won't go there. It repeats the same phraseology. The law will go forth from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so again, as I said, a lot of these people who have this idea that all you need to do is profess Jesus, love Jesus, profess to know Him, but you don't have to obey law, are going to have a problem when they realize that there always has been law, and there always will be law, law and order. So again, the first thing we see established here that's going to be taught is God's law. Why do we need law? Why is law important? Well, as we know here, certainly it's necessary to teach people right from wrong. We know it's certainly necessary. While we're here in Isaiah, notice Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, beginning verse 6. Again, these are verses we often read during the feast. We picture the millennium, the kingdom of God on earth, us ruling with Him. But notice again, Isaiah 9, we'll begin in verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." There's a lot just in those couple verses. I would encourage you to just do your own word study and break that down. If you look carefully at what it says here in verse 7, the increase of His government, you know, the word there can be translated rulership. A dominion that's under authority. You know, God has dominion over everything. Science has even proven that the universe continues to expand. The increase of that continues forever and ever. They can't even see an end to it. So the increase of that government and peace, it says, there will be no end. It goes on to talk about it'll be established to order it and to establish it. Again, these are all interesting words. I'll encourage you to look them up. To order it means literally to establish, fix it, It means to appoint, to establish it. Zodiades' word study on the word, on the phrase establish it means to sustain or to refresh it. There will be a government structure in place, as there's always been, and the ends of it, there'll be no end to it. I encourage you to look at words like judgment as well, which is to render a proper verdict. Justice, all of these words are right here in this verse, verse 7. All of this is important elements of what will exist at that time. Justice, meaning rightness, objectivity, morally it can mean virtue. And so we see here in verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government, or that which he governs is another way to look at it, and also peace. Also peace. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This perfect law of liberty, and it is a law of liberty and freedoms, will be taught, lived, and enforced. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many people look at the laws of God as laws of liberty? When I was a teenager, I had a friend who looked at God's way of life as just an absolute oppressive burden and couldn't wait to get out from under it. Never viewed it as something that was freedom and liberty. In Zechariah 14, another passage we often read during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, we read of a fact that there will be consequences for people who don't obey. That is a missing component today in society. People think they get away with things because they commit sin or break laws. Consequences aren't immediate, so they may assume they got away with it. But in Zechariah 14, verse 16, again, a familiar passage, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. There will be consequences. There will be consequences. By this time, the time of the millennium after Jesus Christ has returned, God's not messing around anymore. He's been patient enough, and now it's going to be his government on earth and his laws, and you're going to follow them or there'll be consequences. So again, in a society where many profess to be Christians but don't believe we need to obey God's law, specifically, you know, they often say, well, I'm New Testament, I'm not Old Testament, so I don't need to obey anything in the Old Testament. It's only the New Testament. These people often look at the commandments of God as burdensome, something oppressive, something that needs to be removed. But is that what God intended? Today I want to look at the positive aspects of living God's laws. The benefits of God's law. Not certainly in the future we'll look at that, but even today. What are just some, and I thought about it as I was preparing the sermon, we probably could have done an interesting round table on all the benefits we get, even today in life, by living according to God's laws. And that's the title of the sermon today, Benefits of Living by God's Laws. First of all, what's the purpose of law? We ought to establish that. What's it designed to achieve? Well, we could look at, again, creating a bunch of words, synonyms that would come to mind, fairness, equity, justice, right? Those are all things, if we said, well, what does law do? Why do we have laws in this country? Those would be words that would come to mind. Our own safety, right? I like the law that says if I'm going through a green light, you can't go through a red light. That's a good law. Now, I might not like it if I got the red light and I'm in a hurry, but still, it's a law, right? And there's safety when people obey laws. And so, even alive today, we understand there's reasons why we have laws. Laws exist to create peace, to resolve conflicts. How do you resolve conflicts? We have to have some manner to judge that with. Join me in the 119th Psalm. Because people who claim that God's laws are done away with really are simply claiming But they're living according to other laws. It's just those laws they don't want to adhere to. Every society has laws. I didn't do this morning. Let me just save some time. We're going to go back and forth the 119th Psalm. And I kept flipping through pages to get there. So let's just go to 119th Psalm. You could throw a marker in there if you want. We'll be bouncing back and forth through there. Because most people today that don't want to follow God's laws are really talking about the Ten Commandments. And really, the one commandment they don't like more than any is the Sabbath. Some of the other ones are kind of okay with. Yeah, don't murder me, right? There's commandments people appreciate. But there's other words in the Bible that would fall under the broad category of living according to God's laws. A lot of them are right here in the 119th Psalm. We're going to touch on some of them today. But they're all through the Psalms. They're all through the Bible. Laws, commandments, statutes, judgments, testimonies, ordinances are all words that when you read them, you should stop and say, oh, this is an ordinance. Does it apply to me today? How does it apply to me? How do I apply that in my life? Because it's more than just the Ten Commandments. 119th Psalm, verse 1. 119th Psalm, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. We touched on that a sermon or two ago. The disciples, the early converts, were called followers of the way, right? Before they were called Christians at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts, there's another word, diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, then I would not be ashamed. Our Micah Gunn touched on shame in his sermon, that message. I'll get to that word here in a little bit. When I look into all your commandments, verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, there's another word, I will keep your statutes, verse 8. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And goes on to say, how can a young man cleanse his way? So these, again, are all words. Drop down to verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. The Bible's full of these terms that bring truth to us. Laws of living. Things that are good for us. So today I want to cover this topic, and let me look at the time. We can do this. You're going, oh no, there he goes. I have 10 benefits. I have 10. We probably could have come up with 50. So just be grateful I'm going only with 10, right? So if I run out of time, I'll just tell you what they are. I came up with 10 benefits of living God's laws. Because as I said, sometimes people might look or view living God's way as a burden, a challenge. Pick a word that, you know, as I said, when I had friends when I was a teenager, some really struggled with staying in the church because it just they had a negative view. So I want to look at the positive aspects, the benefits that we receive for living God's law. Number one, God's law is a guide to conversion. It is a guide to conversion. You know, those people that want to be, quote, approved of God, but don't really know what that means, don't really understand that you're not going to become approved if you don't understand what sin is, what conversion is. And so God's law is a guide to conversion. We're here in Psalm. Look at the 19th Psalm, Psalm 19. Because no one can be converted without submitting to God's law. And so if you aren't going to follow God's law, well, you've kind of condemned yourself. And so it's important that we would know what God's law is and then strive to live according to it. Psalm 19. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There it is. You can't be converted if you don't know what the law is. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes, holy days, tithing, clean, unclean food laws, those type of things, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear, that is, the awe, reverence, respect of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. So right in there we see all these terms being used, the statutes, the laws, the commandments, all shared in a very positive manner and how they help us in our lives. Acts 3, verse 19, one of my favorite scriptures. I actually love reading Acts 3, 19 when I'm counseling people for baptism. It is such an encouraging scripture. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Because again, we're on this first point. God's law is a guide to conversion, right? We cannot be converted unless we know what sin is and how to repent from it. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 2. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And here's the part I love. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What a beautiful imagery. That when we understand how to repent, how to become converted, it says that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Very positive, very encouraging words to us. Proverbs chapter 11. Again, God's law is a guide to conversion. Notice Proverbs 11. As I said, as we go through this today, you may have others that come to mind. I thought of it as I was working on the sermon. It probably would have just been a really good interactive Bible study topic and have everybody just kind of share their verses that come to mind. Maybe we'll save that for another day or another time. But Proverbs 11, verse 9. Again, we're looking at the benefits of living God's way. Proverbs 11, verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 19, I think. Yeah, 19. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Again, God's law is to life, and it's a benefit. It is a guide to what true conversion is. We should never take that for granted. You know, the fact that each and every one of us are here means that God, for whatever reason, reached out and called you. And then you responded to that. And in your response, committed to understanding what God wants of us in our life. And you'll see as we go through this, the ultimate blessing of all this is eternal life in His kingdom. But we have a lot of benefits just in this life. Number two, God's law shows us what is right and wrong. Right and wrong, right? How do you know what right and wrong is? How do you know that you broke the law unless you know what the law is? That's even a principle we understand today. The Bible really is nothing more than instruction for living. That's what it is. This is instruction for living. Over and over, it'll give us, okay, you live, you do this, these are the benefits. You choose this, well, okay, this is a downside. And the Bible's full of instruction like that. You know, you and I are faced often with challenges. Sometimes we don't even think about them because we're so committed in who we are and what we believe in that they don't even tempt us anymore, right? But in the world today, lying, cheating, stealing, things that go on all the time are temptations. Here in a few months, we're going to be doing our taxes, right? And there's that temptation people have to, you know, kind of fudge around a little bit numbers here and fudge a little bit there. It's cheating. You're stealing from the government, right? Take advantage of every tax break you legally can. But when you start doing illegal things, again, those are things that we shouldn't even be challenged with. But we live in a society where those things happen all the time. Lying, cheating, stealing, things in the news, drugs, abortion, all the gender dysphoria, same-sex attraction issues that are going on in our society today. God's law tells us what's right and wrong, pure and simple. And when we're not sure, we go to God's Word, and it gives us an answer. Back to 119th Psalm. I notice the terms used here in the 119th Psalm. Pick up where we left off, verse 9. Because this book, this Bible that once provided the underpinnings of our society is pretty much mocked today. We were talking after services this morning about all the challenges going on in our society today. And how most of it is because they're not following. We used to be a Judeo-Christian society. Go back and look at the founding fathers and all their writings. They spoke often about God. And as a society now, we don't even want to talk about it. We get mad if the president refers to God in anything. You know, that's how far we've moved away. But here in the 119th Psalm, pick it up in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Take heed. Pay attention, is what it's saying. To pay attention to the word and apply it in your lives and to follow it. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Again, so here we see this instruction. You know, taking heed means that we spend time in God's word, reading what it says, heeding that instruction, and how does it apply to me in my life? What do I learn from this? And there's great benefit in that because, again, it shows us right versus wrong. You can put in your notes Matthew 7, verse 14. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Most people don't want a difficult path. And as I've said in the past, there's one path that leads to eternal life. And when God called you and you responded, you stepped off a path that led to a different direction onto this path. And he says, now here's, it's all you need to know to stay in a path. It's right here. So you agreed, here you go, stay in a path. And it's our responsibility, like we read here in Psalm, to take heed, to take heed. And so in order to do what's right, you have to first know what is right. God's law, a benefit of God's law, is it teaches us what is right and what is wrong. Regardless of what the world tells us is right and wrong, this book does. That is a blessing. That is a benefit. Psalm 19, let's go back to Psalm 19, verse 11. Psalm 19, verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Right, there is instruction to us. There is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse you me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. You want to do an interesting Bible study on your own? Study into presumptuous sins. Because it says, you know, keep me even from presumptuous sins, beyond those sins which we might actually actively do. The Bible rewards perseverance. So we should be encouraged by these words and be careful not to get discouraged when we perceive that we don't get immediate blessings. One of the challenges that people often struggle with is, I'm doing everything God asked me to do, and why is this happening or that happening, or why I'm still struggling with this problem or that problem. The ultimate reward, the great reward that it speaks of here, join me in Revelation 22. I was going to go to it later. Let's go right now and we'll come back. I'll read it again at the end of the sermon. But here it speaks of that great reward, Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. That is the great reward. That is the great reward. But the blessings we receive are not just in the future. That is what I call our ultimate blessing, but there's other blessings we receive. Number three, God's law keeps us from being ashamed. That was a word that Micah Gunn used in a sermonette message towards the end. God's word actually keeps us from being ashamed. From being ashamed. You know, one of the worst feelings any individual can have in life is to feel ashamed. It's bad enough when you know you've done something wrong. It's really bad when others know about it and it's public and you just feel this sense of shame. And it can be difficult to move on from that, and yet God's word keeps us from feeling that way. How so? Let's go back to 119th Psalm again. 119th Psalm. I think it kind of relates as well to what we read earlier in Acts 3:19 about the times of refreshing that come in the presence of the Lord. But here in the 119th Psalm, verse 4, I think we already read this. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. When we understand and appreciate how righteous God is, how faithful He is to forgive you of sin when you truly repent, you don't have to walk in shame anymore. He has forgiven you. Now, we do struggle sometimes with guilt. People still have guilt that they sometimes struggle with. But clearly, we don't have to be ashamed any longer when we've truly repented to God for our past. Drop on down to verse 21. It says, "You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies." Again, one benefit then from keeping the laws of God is that He will spare us from shame and reproach and contempt. It is a blessing to know what repentance is, and that Scripture tells us if you do your part, God says He is faithful to forgive you, and you can move on. Again, it can be a challenge for some people, but again, God's law keeps us from being ashamed. Number 4, God's law helps us to know God and Jesus Christ and to be like them, to live like them. How else would we know how to live and be like Christ? That's another misconception in mainstream Christian movements, is that they claim we only have to just know Jesus. As long as you know Him, have you heard the name of Jesus? Yes, good. They think that's good enough. But we understand there's more to that. I mean, how do you know Him? How do we know Christ? Right? How do we know God? 1 John 2, because if somebody says, well, do you know Him? Well, yeah, here's how God says we know Him, 1 John 2. Because to really know God, to really know Jesus Christ, you have to have a relationship with them. That relationship takes time. It takes reading their word to understand them, to apply it in our lives, to become like them. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him. So here He is. He gives us the answer. How do we know that we know Him? If we keep His commandments. So if somebody says, all you have to do is know Him. Well, okay, you're a New Testament convert. Okay, let's take you to the New Testament. Let's go over here to 1 John. It says, this is how we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Verse 4, he who says, I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, I wouldn't call somebody liar, right? Let's not go there. Just point people to Scripture, let them read for themselves. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him, verse 6, ought himself also to walk just as He walked. So this is a good moment for personal introspection and asking ourselves, is there any part of my life that isn't walking like Christ walked? That would be a good area to start working on in your life, because he says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And so that's, again, take heed. It's one of those take heed statements, right? Pay attention. This is how we should apply it in our lives. So God's love is perfected in those who keep His laws and begin to live like Him. And that is a benefit that we receive. Number 5, God's law gives us peace of mind in our lives. Peace of mind. 119th Psalm again. Similar to shame, one of the biggest handicaps people often have in life is dealing with guilt. Guilt. Sometimes guilt, unresolved regrets, issues from their past that they feel remorse for can just eat away at people. Often leading up to Passover, every once in a while somebody will call up and they're struggling because of something and have to keep reminding them that God, if you repented, He forgave you. And yes, we have a memory, and maybe that memory just serves as a reminder not to do whatever it was again. But we can't let it become a debilitating guilt that just makes us sort of stop in our tracks and not move forward. So how is it possible that God's law frees us from excessive guilt? 119th Psalm, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Some translation, nothing shall offend them. But great peace, it says, they have. God's law gives us peace of mind. Again, similar to Acts 3:19, again, times of refreshing. You know, these are benefits we have because we understand what God says, as opposed to people that don't know what repentance is and have to carry and harbor guilt for years. Another way that God's law gives us peace of mind is when we see what's happening in the world. And we try to process what's going on in the world, like some of the things I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon. And we know Matthew 24 reminds us, for the elect say, those days will be shortened. That gives us peace, peace of mind. Because only law keepers are the elect. I mean, just figure that one out, right? So if you consider yourself in that category of the elect's sake, then what's going on in the world, as frustrating as it can be at times, we should have peace knowing that God will watch out for His children, and take care of them. Number six, God's law gives us wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 3. God's word is a great tool at our disposal to know how to make wise decisions. I know even when I was in my corporate job, I kept the Bible in my desk. I actually had come across a couple books where they tied leadership principles directly into the Bible, which I found nice. You're struggling with this, and it points you right to a scripture in the Bible that would help you. Because sometimes, you know, at work, you're not going to say, well, let's pull out the Bible. That doesn't often go over popular in a typical work environment. But if we can take those words and draw out from them and apply them, it will give us wisdom and understanding in so many aspects of life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice what it says here, beginning of verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue, Timothy, in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, verse 15 says, they're able to make you wise. You know, again, for those individuals who don't think they need to spend any time in the Old Testament, what were the Holy Scriptures that Timothy was studying from his youth? The Old Testament, right? The Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh. Those were the Scriptures he studied. Those are the ones that are referred to that will make you wise to salvation. So, again, we see even there this principle that the entire Bible, it's all inspired from God, as we just read. God breathed. I think the word is, I was going to throw out a word, but it would be the wrong word, so I'll just not say it. But again, we see that principle here. And of course, Proverbs, we could read all of Proverbs on wisdom. Let's go to the first part of Proverbs 1, verse 1. Proverbs 1, verse 1. This one book alone, part of wisdom literature as it's called, has probably got more little nuggets of wisdom than you could get in any book on the shelf at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or wherever. The Proverbs of Solomon, verse 1, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So again, we see this all through the book of Proverbs, these words of wisdom. And so another benefit of God's law, of keeping it, is that it opens your eyes to make wise decisions. It gives you wisdom and understanding. Number 7, God's law exists so we know what sin is. Again, we touched on this a moment ago about knowing how to lead us through conversion. But God's law exists so that we know what sin is and so we can avoid it. It's just like laws we have in our society today. Again, they pass a law that says you can only go a certain speed limit on a road. So they post a sign to tell you, don't go faster than this on the road. And again, it's important that they do that so you can see it and avoid crossing that line. 119th Psalm again. Because again, God's law exists so that we know what sin is and avoid it. It's another aspect of making right choices based on wisdom. 119th Psalm, verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right? You know, imagine, if you will, how a child would feel if, you know, they got scolded for something and you never told them what the rule was in the first place, right? You're like, well, I forgot to tell you, sorry, but you're still getting punished. You know, here we see that God's law exists so that we know what sin is, so that we can then avoid that. And that is a benefit to us. How many people in the world today don't even know what sin is? Right? Much of what we see going on in our society today is all based on sin. You know, I was driving over from Cambridge this morning, and on the radio I was listening, they were going over the statistics again of the suicide rate in the transgendered community. It's horrible. It's sad. It really is sad. It exceeds 50, it was almost 60%. It is sad. You know, when you hear this, and more than just being upset about the movement, it's sad to know that people are taking their lives because they made a choice that they thought would finally bring them peace in their life, and they get to that, I'll use the term, other side, and they realize whatever it is they're dealing with, they're still dealing with. And the only solution they can come up with is to finally take their life. It's sad. And we live in a time today where nobody wants to have a discussion about the mental health issues and all that. And so it's got a suicide rate that's reaching, 56.9% was the number they said. Almost 60%. It's sad. It certainly is sad. You know, God's law exists so that we know what sin is and can avoid it. That's a benefit. That is a blessing. And we should appreciate it as such. Romans 6:16. Again, it's God's law gives us this understanding. It helps us to identify, to avoid, even prevent sinning. Again, it's something we don't question in other areas of our lives. Laws are passed by our government. They exist for our good. We understand that. We abide by them. So it should be no different in this aspect. Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Again, do you count it a blessing, a benefit in your life, to know what sin is, so that you can avoid it? It really truly is a blessing, because again, so many people are committing sins in their life that they may not even know that they're committing. Number 8, God's law is our counselor in freedom and liberty. It's our advisor, you might say. It advises us. James 1:25. We looked at this a little earlier. Let's go there again. James 1:25. I don't know how often people look at God's law as liberating and freeing, but it truly is. James 1, verse 25, we read earlier. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How can law be liberating? Well, I mentioned earlier, there's been studies that show that children have more fun, less stress, and less worry in their lives when they know the boundaries. You know, when I was a kid growing up, again, it was a different time, The rule was, be in before the streetlights come on. Summertime was a blast because the streetlights didn't come on at 9:30 or whatever. But it was, you know, I got up and had breakfast, and out the door I went, and me and my friends, just we had woods behind our house and a field, and we just were off. And the rule was, be in before the streetlights came on. Now, I would duck in midday, not because I loved mom and dad, it's just because that's where the refrigerator was at. I had to refuel, but off I went again, you know. And so mom knew I was around, but it was that I knew there was great freedom and liberty in knowing what the rule was. Because as long as I stay in the rule, just go have fun. Imagine what it would be if there was no law, no rule. I come in and, oh, you're getting punished. You're getting grounded for 2 weeks. Why? Because you weren't in by 9 o'clock. Whoever said 9 o'clock? Well, we just decided it was 9 o'clock and it's 9:15, so now you're in trouble. You see how frustrating it would be? Laws can be freeing. They can liberate you because you know what the boundaries are. And as you stay within them, you don't have those worries. So again, God's law is very much like that for us. It tells us, these are the boundaries. Stay inside of them, you're fine. Now, you want to go across the boundaries, that's another issue. But if you just go on in life staying inside the boundaries, there's less stress and less worry. And that's a blessing to know what those boundaries are. 119th Psalm, again, verse 7. I know I'm rereading some of these, but just trying to emphasize the different points. 119th Psalm, verse 7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Yeah. It's not like, oh, no, I got to keep that law, really? No, it says, I will praise you when I learn those righteous judgments, when you understand God's law, His statutes, as it goes on to say. So again, these are a benefit and a blessing in our life. It frees us to truly enjoy life in a manner that we know isn't displeasing to God or disrespectful or certainly sinful. And so that is a benefit. That is a blessing. As I said, when I was younger, in my teens, I had some friends that didn't view it that way. They viewed everything as just being a restriction. They knew all the things they couldn't do, but never appreciated the things that they could do. And I think that's often a challenge that all parents face as you're trying to teach your children any kind of principles, is to try to point out the positive aspects of anything. You know, God, as I said, I gave a sermon 2 years ago, maybe three now, at the teen prom, and I remember trying to encourage the teens then that I said, you know, you can have it all. You know, because there is a misnomer in the world, certainly my friends at their age had this idea that I could either be in the church and be miserable and have eternal life, I'm paraphrasing the way they talked, or I can go out there and have a blast and forget eternal life. I want to go have a blast. And as I said in that sermon a couple years ago, I said, that's not what God says at all. He says, you live life inside these boundaries and you can have all of it. You can have a good life now and eternal life when this one's over. It's not an either or, it's both. And so it's a blessing and a benefit that He gives us this law so that we understand what the boundaries are. And then we can have the freedom and the liberty to live within those boundaries and enjoy this life and look forward to eternal life in His kingdom. Number 9. God's law gives us good judgment. I mentioned wisdom and understanding. It also gives us good judgment or good discernment. I gave a whole sermon a couple years ago on judgment, discernment. But how much is that worth to you to be able to make good judgments? We're still here in 119th Psalm. Let's go to verse 66. 119 verse 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Now, how much is good judgment or discernment worth to you? You know, think of decisions you've made in your life which maybe didn't go so well because you didn't make the right decision. It was because of poor judgment. You know, you can write in your notes, John 7:24 tells us to judge righteous judgments. You know, over the years, people have made poor judgment in, you know, people they run around with. You know, which can often lead people to get arrested and get in trouble because of just the crowd they're with. You know, the crowd they're with does something wrong, and guess what? You're with them. We're just rounding everybody up. People can make poor judgments in the job they choose, which can create problems for them down the road. Maybe the person they decide to marry or who they spend their time with. You know, a little bit further down here, verse 97, 119, 97, It says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Again, God's law gives us good judgment, discernment. And that's something we should appreciate. You could go back, we won't go there for time, I've mentioned this in the past, Leviticus 11 talks about the food laws, and at the end of that, verse 44 and verse 45, speaks to the principle that's really taught in keeping the food laws. There's a benefit to keeping the food laws for health reasons, but that's not really why it was given. If you look at the end of it, let's go there, verse 44 and verse 45, real quick, Leviticus 11. Verse 44, excuse me. "For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves." This is at the end of the clean and unclean food laws. "And you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." It is one of these things that gives us, it's kind of a dual blessing. One, yes, there are benefits for keeping the food laws. But in keeping those food laws, it's a daily reminder of living a life of discerning between good, bad, right, wrong, so that we can be holy, God's holy people. And so I know every time I'm at Kroger's right around the corner from our house, anytime I'm in there shopping and I'm doing the whole checking out labels, this verse always comes to my mind because I'm diligently looking at the labels, but I should be diligently, in spiritual sense, looking at my life, discerning that which is clean versus unclean, right? And so there's a principle there that, again, through God's law, we have a benefit or a blessing, and certainly health benefits that come from keeping these food laws, but also a principle of always examining ourselves to remain undefiled, so that we would be His holy people. Again, the benefit of good judgment or discernment. And number 10, the last one I have, God's law shows us the love of God. It shows us the love of God. 1 John 5. Excuse me. 1 John 5. Imagine, if you will, any parent who has a child and the child is saying, "I love you," all the time, but they're not doing a single thing mom or dad says. You think mom's buying it? You know? The same is true with God. God's law shows us both the love of God towards us, but it teaches us what real love is so that we can both love God and love one another. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. "But this we know, that we love the children of God." Look around the room, that's us. "We know that we love each other here when we love God and keep His commandments." So if you're not loving God and keeping His commandments, you don't love the person sitting in the room here. That's what we just read. Because it just says, "This we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God," verse 3, "that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." They are not burdensome. And I would hope, and by now we all agree, that they are not burdensome. Oh yeah, there's times when society will come up against us on some of them, specifically Sabbath keeping, but it's never a burden. Should never be viewed as a burdensome, being burdensome. This is tied to the first and greatest commandment in Matthew 22, which we know. Let's go to Matthew 22, verse 37. Again, all of these are, this list of 10 that I have are just 10 that I came up with of benefits of living according to God's laws. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So again, living by God's laws, His commandments, is a sign that we are His. We are His children, and we want to please Him. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, We won't go there. I think it's in verse 1. It says, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. The word there is mimetase. We've looked at it in the past. You know, it can be translated, follow along with me as I'm following Christ. That should be our approach with all of us here. Just come on, let's do this together. Follow along, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But we should all be striving to imitate Jesus Christ in our own individual lives. And the only way that we're going to accomplish that is by having God's law written in our hearts. And so it's up to each one of us to be striving to have God's law in our hearts, because it guides our thinking and our decision-making and everything about our lives. We could go on. I'm sure we could probably sit around and come up with a much longer list. The 10 that I came up with, the 10 benefits I have, number one, a guide to conversion. Number two, it shows us what's right and wrong. Number three, it keeps us from being ashamed. Number four, it helps us to know Jesus Christ and be like Him. Number five, it gives us peace of mind in our lives. Number six, it gives us wisdom and understanding. Number seven, it exists so we know what sin is and can avoid it. Number eight, it is our counselor in freedom and liberty. It advises us as to those things. And number nine, it gives us good judgment or discernment. And 10, it shows us the love of God. Again, many people today, even many professing Christians, would have you believe that God's laws are done away with. Hopefully by now we're just, I don't think I told you anything new today, right? You know this. Right? I'm just trying to encourage you to not forget these things. There's great benefits that God gives to His children and by giving us His law. Let's conclude in Revelation 22. I went to it quickly earlier. I just want to wrap it up right there, Revelation 22, because in the end, you know, God didn't make a mistake by giving man laws, commandments, statutes, testimonies, precepts, ordinances, and then throwing it all away and saying, I'll forget all of that. We know this entire Bible is here for our instruction and our learning and our growth. Revelation 22, again, verse 12. We'll begin in verse 12. Read three verses here. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. The greatest benefit of all, we looked at 10, but the greatest one of all truly is eternal life in God's kingdom.